SOP253. Today, we're talking about a fun way to accept donations, and do I really need a portable recorder?
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to me talk about all things podcasting, from planning to producing to promoting. It's all here at theschoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, I would love to hear from you. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. That's 888-563-3228. And of course, our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Everything I talk about today, you can find out in our show notes. Go to shownotes.schoolofpodcasting.com. Well, first things first, I want to thank Chris Christensen from the Amateur Traveler Podcast. He had actually sent in an email about last week. We were talking about the cost of starting up a video podcast if you just wanted to go low end. And he had actually mentioned that, oh, and I'm going to butcher Victor's last name, Victor Caggio? Victor, I'm sorry. You know him from, if you go to Typical Media Group, he's got the Typical Mac podcast and the Typical Photographer, I think it is. You can find him over at typicalmediagroup.com. Anyway, Chris, who is from amateurtraveler.com, has found some LED. Well, actually, Chris reported that Victor had found, did you follow that? Some LED lights at Home Depot for $25 that are not specifically sold for video. But, you know, $25 is not a bad place to start. And we're actually going to talk about that a little later in a second. But also, if you want to find Chris, you can, again, find him at amateurtraveler.com. Or he was actually on a episode with myself at The Power of Podcasting, talking about how he actually got a free trip to Mexico due to his podcast. And you can find that at powerofpodcasting.com. I'll put a link to that out in the show notes so you can go right to the Amateur Traveler interview. One quick thing I need to mention. I am going to be at PodCamp Cleveland. That is next Saturday, which is the 30th. Now, that's where a great place to network. It's kind of weird because it seems like it's almost more like social media camp than PodCamp, but that's okay. If you want to get together and talk about podcasting, I am having a free, as in F-R-E-E, webinar. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/webinars, and that will be this coming Tuesday, the 26th. And so I realized that if you just got this yesterday, that's one day notice, but that's about being a member of the School of Podcasting. I mentioned this earlier to them. So this 26th, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we go for about an hour and a half, open forum to talk about all things podcasting, from, you know, gear to promotional ideas to new podcasts to partnerships. It's all there. April 26th, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/webinars. All right, next up, we have an email from Jack Carlson. He says, Dave, I really enjoy your show. I was wondering if I could ask you a quick question. I've actually already answered this via email. I know that the ideal recorder for a podcaster is either the Eterol or the Zoom, but if I don't have the budget for those right now, is there another option that is less expensive, or should I just continue to record directly into my computer? Well, here's my first point about recording directly into your computer. Back in the day when portable recorders were $600, I recorded directly into my computer, and really for years it was okay. It was okay until my computer started to buzz. The sound card wasn't very good. So that would be my first question. What does it sound like when you record directly into your computer? If it sounds okay, then continue on. The only problem is you're running software and you're recording, and if you're trying to do Skype and you're trying to do this, it really bogs down your computer. Now, in terms of the Eterol, I believe you're probably referring to the Eterol R-09.HR. That's $283 at Amazon. I'll have links to these out in the show notes. The Zoom H4N is also $300. And that doesn't even have a line in. That has a microphone in, but not a line in, which I thought was interesting. I have the H4 that I'm actually recording into right now And does it have a line in? It has, yes, it does. But that model is discontinued. Now, they have the H2, which goes for, I want to say, around 150, 160. And that definitely has a line in. And it has some built-in mics, as does the H4, as does the Edirol. Actually, all these have built-in mics. They're just not great. The Zoom H1 is only, I want to say, $90. I'm so good. I copied the link to it, but forgot to write down what the price was. This is what's called show prep, Dave, but that's why I'm doing my podcast in front of a computer, so I can now paste this. Now, when it comes to the Zoom H1, it's actually It's basically $90, $89. Now, that, again, I wouldn't use that for the microphones in it, but if it has a line in, you can go directly from your mixer to those, and that's where you avoid the... It's just a cleaner channel. It's designed to record. Realize with the Zoom H1, you're going to have to buy an outlet. I don't believe that comes with an actual electrical plug. You have to buy batteries at first, and I think that's an external thing. So you're looking at basically $100. If I had to pick between the Zoom H1 and H2, I would go H2. I really like the H2. And being that neither one of those can have an external like XLR input, I love the mic on the H2. So that would be that. But number one, when you're first starting out, I always tell people to record a couple podcasts just to test drive it and see how long it takes to actually... You know, get your information, record it, things like that. And for that, by all means, record directly into your computer. It's just a test. And what I hate to hear is people that don't get into podcasting because they want it to be perfect. And, you know, next episode, I'm going to play my very first podcast episode because it's hideous. It's awful. And you're not going to be as good, you know, 10 episodes in. You're going to be better than your first episode. And so if you're trying to wait till it's all perfect, you're really, unfortunately, you know, you're missing the boat. You could be reaching an audience, and with today's technology, I'm not an audiophile, but I feel it's pretty hard to create a horrible, horrible sounding podcast that I won't even listen to unless you're using Blog Talk Radio or TalkShoe or some $30 microphone that came with your computer. If you've actually spent over $50 on a microphone, I'll probably listen to it. You know, the microphone I'm talking into right now is a Shure SM58. It's $99. You know, do I wish I had a Heil PR40? Sure. I don't have an extra $500 though. You know, so don't let, oh, if I only had all the pieces parts, stop you from starting a podcast. You don't need to spend $1,000 on equipment. So do you need a portable recorder? No, you don't need one. Unless your computer sounds like caca and has a buzz and all sorts of stuff, then you need one. And at that point, if you're really stuck on a budget, go for a Zoom H1. You know, if you can wait, get a Zoom H2 maybe. But at least a Zoom H1 will give you, I believe, a line input, which you can directly plug from your... You can take an XLR out of your mixer and go to the line in of the portable recorder. Thanks for the question. Last up, this came down my RSS feed, and it is not my preferred method of monetizing your podcast, and that is donations. From what I've seen, I know a few people that are having success with that, and that's because they have a ton, and by that I mean a lot, as in many, as in big, as in huge audience. And I was just reading on a board where somebody had like, you know, 2,000 listeners per episode and they still got no donations. And number one, in this case, the show I'm talking about is noagendashow.com in the morning, everybody. And they ask a lot for donations. So you're going to have to beg, you know, ain't too proud to beg, right? So, you know, but they point out that, look, you're not getting this information anyplace else. And we should be rewarded for keeping you informed. And consequently, it works. Now, some people hate And by that, I mean abhor. It's the word of the day, abhor. PayPal. And that's one way that a lot of people take donations. So how do you get around accepting donations if you don't like PayPal? Well, enter my charity box. Now, what's interesting about this is the fees are a little, depending. PayPal is 2.9% plus 30%. Plus 30%. Nice. 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction. So if you get a $5 donation, you're going to end up taking home $4.55 with PayPal. With my charity box, it's 3.5% per transaction. So a little more percentage, but less per transaction, 25 cents. So with a $5 donation, with my charity box, you're making $4.57. With PayPal, you're making $4.55. Now, if your donations go up to $10, it's pretty much a dead heat. You get a $10 donation, you're going to take home $9.40 from my charity box. From PayPal, you're going to take home $9.41. Now, when you go up to 15, that difference of percentage, which is basically 0.6% more, is what my charity box is taking, starts to come into effect. Because now, a $15 donation, you're taking $14.22 and for my charity box and $14.26 home with PayPal. So you're making 4 cents more. And obviously, the more that goes up, the more they take. Now, for me, again, donations are not my favorite way of getting money from a podcast. But the interesting thing about this My Charity thing, My Charity Box, and you can find that at mycharitybox.com. There's no affiliate program here. I'm not getting paid for this. Somebody threw this my way, and I went, oh, that's kind of cool, is you can set up different funds. So you could set up a fund for like the May hosting bill, and people could log in and pay for that if they wanted to. So let's say, hey, I don't want to pay for my $15 at Libsyn or at Blueberry or wherever you're getting your hosting from. And you could have different funds, and everybody could pay for your monthly hosting bill. Then you could have, there are these different, I believe they're called tokens, where you could say, hey, you could make your token be, May's hosting. And they could drag and drop that into your little charity box, and that would say, hey, wow, that's a $15 donation. You could say, hey, I have a Heil PR40 token. If you drop that in, it's $340. Wow, thank you for donating. That kind of thing. So you could have little things. It's a little bit like the Amazon wish list, only you get to say what the amount is for. So for instance, if this was a school, you could say, okay, one of our tokens is for a swing set. And when people drag and drop the swing set, which is a little picture, a little icon of the swing set, into the token box, it's like, okay, that's a $120 donation or whatever. But it does show you the latest donations. It shows you the highest donations. You get all of the people that donate. You get their information. I wouldn't recommend spamming them. The thing that I didn't like about this, because on one hand, it's a way to get donations around PayPal. Number one, everybody has PayPal. I know some people hate it, but most people have it. But this does allow you to use credit cards versus PayPal. But when you first go over, if you go to, what's my page again? I think it's podcast.mycharitybox.com is where you go to, if you want to see my box that I was playing with, is when you go to donate, it looks like you need to sign up for something. There's a box there that says, you don't have to sign up. You can do an express donation, or there's a big box that says sign up now for an account. Now, if they sign up for an account, then they can do reoccurring things, which I think would make sense for like a church if you're looking for online giving and things like that. But most of this stuff, except for the little tokens and things like that, I don't see anything here that you can't do with PayPal. You just get you get tutorials on how to set it up. You can set it up in about 2 minutes. It's made for causes and things like that. You can actually also process credit card donations manually. So if somebody says, I don't feel good giving my credit card information out on the internet, but I can call you and give it to me, you could actually do that. So there are some advantages that, you can do. And it does get people over the I hate PayPal thing. you know, and it is going to cost you a little more money. Okay. It is cute. Okay. But in the bottom line, I just don't think this is, I know there are people that are having success with donations. I believe they are the exception and not the rule. So if you want to see this, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/box, and that'll take you to my page. It'll also be a link in the show notes at shownotes.schoolofpodcasting.com. But if you're looking, if you want to try it, it's free to start up. You know, the only time they make money is if you make money. So, you know, it's worth a shot. You never know. Maybe your people, maybe your audience will respond. So that's just another way. Oh, and speaking of that, as I record this, it's April 23rd. First of all, happy Easter. Happy Passover to all of you. And that's tomorrow. And please remember, there's a lot more to Easter than eggs and bunnies and chocolate. And but I do want to let you know that my book, More Podcast Money, is coming out in May as an ebook. It later will be turned into a book that goes into Amazon. But right now, I've had enough people say, look, you know, just release it as an ebook. And so that will be coming out in May. If you want to get on the waiting list to be notified, go over to morepodcastmoney.com. And where it talks about all sorts of ways, not just donations, and it talks about No Agenda and how many subscribers they have and how much money they're actually making via donations. It's amazing. I actually went back and did the math and did a lot of homework into this book. If you're interested in it, go over to More Podcast Money, and like I said, that will be available in May. So thank you so much for tuning in. What did we learn today? Number one, your podcast doesn't have to be perfect. If you know what, maybe that's next week's show. I'm going to play you my first podcasting episode, not of this show, but my very first one. It's hideous. And so, you know, like anything else in the world, if you start shooting baskets today, I bet you're not going to make every one, but you do get better. I'm getting ready to launch another podcast, and I'm really having a hard time because I've got paralysis by analysis. And while analysis is kind of good, there comes a time when you just got to go, screw it. Hit the record button and let's go. And if that's where you're at, I can point you in the right direction. You know, we've got step-by-step tutorials to walk you through setting up your website, setting up WordPress. What plugins should you use? You know, where can I find cool things like My Charity Box and other ways to monetize your podcast? Where can I find graphics? Where can I find theme music? It's all there at theschoolofpodcasting.com, and I would love to have you as a new member. So thanks for tuning in. That's my plug for the day. Till next week, class is dismissed.